My name is Alan Mowers. I'm a photographer, cinematographer, and gaffer. Understanding what's going on underneath the hood of your camera can be a really daunting task. That's why I thought this might be a really great place to start, whether you have a DSLR or you're just shooting with your phone. Hang tight. This is the first episode of the Deep Pixel Podcast. I can remember when I first started shooting regularly in 2010. It was my third year of college, and a professor had let me borrow my first major digital camera. It was a Canon Rebel XT, and I carried that thing with me everywhere. I was always shooting. My girlfriend, and now wife, Ashley, was the subject of many, many photos, and it was regularly known that wherever I was, that camera was going to be with me. But I have to admit something. When I first picked that thing up, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I'd learned how to shoot photos on my dad's Minolta SRT-101 when I was in grade school. I can remember the first time we took pictures together regularly. I was 11 years old, and in my physical science class, I had been given an assignment to creatively show the taxonomic ranking of animals. And for this assignment, I chose to do birds. But I wanted to go one step further than some of my classmates. I really wanted to see if I could take my own pictures using my dad's old camera. As previously stated, it was a film camera. It was not an autofocus film camera. It was from about 1973, if I've done my research right. And you can imagine what happened. My dad graciously allowed me to use a couple rolls of color film. He set the camera up for me and basically said, "Okay, point the camera, you have to make sure that it's in focus, and fire." You can imagine that at 11 years old, while I was doing my best, when that roll of film came back, it was properly exposed for the most part, but they were not in focus. I did not really know how to do that well, especially on a non-autofocus camera. I couldn't quite understand the split viewfinder and understanding how exactly that meant that the picture was going to be in focus. Fast forward again to 2010, when I picked up a camera for the second time. I really, this time, wanted to understand what was actually happening when I was pushing that shutter button. So I took a class on it. I did an independent study and really dug into how to do photography. Well, it turned out all right, because a couple of years later, I would end up working professionally as a photographer for quite a while, and that led to this podcast. Understanding how that camera worked was one of the things that really enabled me to dig into photography and understand exactly what was going on. So, how on earth do you get started? And what if you don't have gear? That's one of the questions that I get asked regularly. Friends will approach me and say, "Hey, Alan, I'm getting into photography. I have this amount of money. What do I do? How do I get into photography? I want to get a better camera. I want to learn how to take good pictures." So the first bit of advice I always give people is a saying that's commonly attributed to legendary American photographer Jay Mazel, along with a host of other people. It's not a new saying, but the best camera is the one that you have with you. In 2018, we really are living in an interesting time when it comes to cameras. Rewind 15 years ago, and the point-and-shoot camera was still a thing. Flip phones were the rage, and you were lucky if your camera on your phone, if it had one, was 2 megapixels. We're living in a day and age where our phones have completely wiped out, or at least almost completely wiped out, the point-and-shoot camera market. Most major camera companies, while they still have a couple of models in that line, have vastly reduced the amount of cameras that they're producing at that level, because they know iPhones and Google Pixels and Samsung phones, they've just replaced that market. They're not dumping money into it anymore. The major advantage that we have now is something that we couldn't ever do with point-and-shoot cameras, or at least could rarely do. You can actually take control over the camera. On a DSLR, it's really easy to understand what's happening. You can move the buttons or those scrolly wheels, hit some of the buttons, and instantaneously get an understanding, or at least an idea, of what is controlling what. One of these little wheels by the shutter button is going to make things brighter and darker. The other little wheel is going to bring more things into focus as you make the number larger on the camera. We're going to get into that in the next episode. Stay tuned. But on a smartphone, which is the camera that most people have nowadays, and sometimes is the gateway drug into better photography, you can also break those things apart. The first thing that you need to do is you need to download an application which allows you to have advanced controls. Now, there are many different options that allow you to do these things, but the one that I'm going to recommend to you today is Adobe Lightroom. Now, before you jump all over me and say, Alan, I don't have a Creative Cloud subscription, you need that to use that. Technically speaking, you don't. You just need it to use some of the more advanced features. But to be able to use the advanced camera, which you can find by clicking on the little button in the lower left-hand corner where you see auto or automatic, and switch that to Pro, what this enables is you can suddenly take control over your shutter speed and your ISO and lock it or unlock it, which allows you to gain a better understanding of what your camera is actually doing. This is the most important thing to really digging into understanding what is going on with the camera. You have to be able to drop it into what on a DSLR is called manual mode. Now, before people start jumping all over me about program modes or shutter priority or aperture priority modes and how those have gotten really good and you don't necessarily need to drop the camera into manual to understand everything, I am going to counter and say, yes, those modes have gotten way better, and we're going to talk about those a little bit further down the road. But to begin with, to really gain a proper understanding of what is going on with your camera, you need to be able to independently change the ISO, the aperture, and your shutter speed. If you guys haven't ever heard of those are the three things that make up what is referred to as the exposure triangle, which truly is one of the fundamental concepts that you have to understand before you can make a good picture. You have to be able to understand the relationship of what having a slower shutter speed is going to do to your images, how it will not freeze motion instantaneously. Likewise, you have to be able to understand how having a wide open aperture is going to change the relationship between your subject in the foreground and what the background of the image is going to look like. And finally, you have to understand how those two individual components of the exposure triangle are going to be dependent on how much light is actually already present in the images. If it is dark outside, you're going to have to use the ISO setting, which is going to change the sensitivity of the sensor in your camera and introduce more artificial light. This is the same type of thing that you might do by changing film stock back in the film days. You would increase your ASA. You would get a film with a higher ASA speed, which would be more sensitive to light, which would allow you greater freedom in choosing your aperture and your shutter speed. Is all of that a little bit confusing? Yeah. That's why it is extremely important to have a firm understanding of these three concepts. And that's why, over the next 3 weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to take each one of those individual topics and give it a week's worth of content so you can gain a better understanding of how each one of the corners of the exposure triangle go into helping you make a better image. And I think that's going to do us for our first episode. If you guys have feedback, send that to deeppixelpod@gmail.com. Send me a tweet @deeppixelpod. Or you can follow me on Instagram @deeppixelpod as well. Until next week, guys, take care and keep shooting.